Welcome to InvincePod, probably the best podcast about the Amazon original series Invincible on the internet. I'm James.
I'm Ralph.
And we're back. It's Thursday. I'm very confused, but Invincible comes out on Thursdays now, so we are coming out now on Thursdays as well.
Right. And I'm sick.
Oh, okay. All right. I can do the heavy lifting this week if you need to just relax. Ralph had a very, very busy day yesterday.
The problem is also is I have a hard out at 11 because I have to join on another podcast immediately following this. So
I'm fucking around this week.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this because a new episode of Invincible. It's not that simple. Freaking just jam packed. Like Stevie was like 2 hours long. I'm like, and that's 51 minutes.
Yeah. They just pack so much in. It's amazing. But I mean, it's not that simple to do an episode of Invincible. And this one comes out of the gate. Like, it just picks up immediately where we left off. It's almost as if this was made as a double episode, or at least the first half of this was still just cut right in the middle. They just went, cool, roll some credits there, that'll do. Because it picks up and we've got Rex with the gun to his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bullet through his head. And I was like, oh shit, okay, Kirkman's doing some stuff. They are changing things.
Like, that's the thing. So I'm like, okay, they know the overall series of the comics. Yeah. And they probably have a pretty good game plan for an end date for the show. Mm-hmm. So is Rexplode necessary in the grand scheme of things? Probably not. But so I was like, you know what? Maybe just
if they are bumping up, if they are just compressing down, then let's just kill him, and it'll be a shock to us who know it all so well and know that he's meant to still be around for a little while longer. Like, I mean, I say a little while longer. I mean, as far as I'm aware, Rex is around for a long time. Like,
then he gets shot in the head. And I'm like, okay, he did it. But it's weirdly off to the side.
Yeah, it's just a little bit. It's like Robert Carlyle in that Bond movie.
Yeah. The world's not enough. So I'm like, okay. I'm like,
It's still comics. And there's still some stuff. But then, like, immediately we cut over to Mars and Shapesmith. Also, like, it looks like he pops or something, and I'm like, all right, that one I'm not so sure about because it seemed ambiguous, and he's also a shapeshifter, so he might be able to just go into some goo or whatever. Like, so I wasn't as worried, but I was like, fuck, are they just clearing house in this episode? Are they gonna do one of those episodes of Walking Dead or an issue of Invincible where they just massacre everyone and that almost resets the status quo, and it's like, Mark's back, Eve's joined in, like, let's just go with the new Guardians? But no, that's not how it works. We didn't lose either of them. Shapesmith's fine. And
Ray? Drinking Ray's still around.
Drinking Ray was back from the inside. She just got swallowed. So, you know, probably just made it harder. She's messed up, but she's alive.
So much happier this week.
Kate seemingly dead, though. They at least play it like she's dead. And like, my theory of it being a ploy or a little scheme that her and Immortal have cooked up to essentially quiet quit the Guardians of the Globe. Like, the way he's beaten up and broken up, I don't think it's that, unless it's something that she's doing and she hasn't told him yet. Because he's taking it very hard. We talked about it last week. I love that despite jamming so much into each one of these episodes, it takes time for quiet moments.
Yeah.
And that scene after the funeral where Immortal is talking to Black Samson. Yeah. Who, you know, makes sense. They go way back. He's talking to him and he's like, I don't know why I feel this way. Like, I've been in love before. I've lost a lot of people in my time. He's been around for a long time. But this one hits him harder. And that's really sweet. And it's really tragic.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, again, that's the thing with the show versus the book is, in the grand scheme of things, is Immortal necessary? Is his relationship to Kate necessary for the story? Probably not.
No.
You know,
you can trim them if you need to.
No.
Yeah.
The comic was supposed to go on kind of forever. And then they're like, okay, we're going to wrap it up at issue. Yeah. I forget. It's like 144, something like that.
It's in the 140s, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where I'm like, Kirkman can do whatever he wants. And if there's characters that don't serve the story he's trying to tell in the show,
yeah,
he can change those all around, which we've seen. So it is interesting. We get a lot of Rick.
And yeah.
William.
Rihanna Rick, as I wrote him down in my notes.
Right. He's definitely acting the same as Donald. Like, it's very much inferred, implied, that he's got the same treatment as Donald did.
Yeah. And Donald knows. And so he's kind of pissy that this is now a thing. And Rick doesn't know. I don't know, but he maybe suspects something, or maybe he does know. Maybe that was sort of, Donald was like, fuck you. If you're going to do this to people, you have to tell them. It's not fair for them to not know. Cause yeah, Rick doesn't seem great about it, but he's there. He's a cyborg now, I guess, but I don't know. I feel like there's going to be more story.
I think it's a cool storyline. Cause I don't think this was tackled in the book. The fact that, you know, D.A. Sinclair turned Rick into a cyborg for evil. And now this is no different. Like, Cecil's doing the same thing. It's turning him into a cyborg.
He does
For what reason, though?
That's it. Yeah. Rick does come back, but pretty much in the books, as far as I can remember, like, William will pop up now and then. Amber pops up once or twice after the breakup, which we get a lot of seeds for in this episode. But it's those characters, the sort of Mark's normal, quote unquote, life characters, definitely start to take a backseat in the comic.
Right. And it, we brought it up last week about Amber and Mark's relationship going strong. And it sounds like they may be moving away from it. But again, is Kirkman going to be changing stuff?
Don't know.
Is he going to try to make Amber? He can do whatever he wants. He can make Mark and Amber work. The seeds are planted.
Yeah. There was the hug last week, and then there's another hug, like, from the opposite direction this week with Mark and Eve. There's conversations and the comfortableness between Mark and Eve that I think seems to have gone between Mark and Amber. And that scene where they have their coffee, and it's a coffee date, and I mean, even like the swirl is broken hearts on both of them. It's, you know, it's breakup coffee, and they both sort of say, why does this feel awkward? Why is this so weird? It's because Mark's not really been there. Their lives are moving in different directions. They've got a lot of love for each other. They've got a lot of time for each other. They really, in an ideal world, they'd want to make it work, but I think they both know that it's not going to. It's a very mature relationship and breakup, really. Like, and I think that's nice. It makes a change. I think it's a sign of what the show is in 2024 as opposed to the comic in 2005, probably at that point.
Yeah. Also, the thing with Rick is, why Rick? But then also, is Cecil doing this to other people?
Others, yeah.
Is he hiding Rihanna men in plain sight? Will they be activated? Yeah. I mean, as a contingency plan, I feel like that's something Cecil would do.
He's got plans on plans, you know. Definitely. Like last week when Donna was like, I thought I had full white room privileges, and it's like, you do, to the point that I need you to. Beyond that, you don't. Yeah.
Right.
Before we get too far away from it, when we find out that Rex is alive, he's all messed up in the head. Like, he's back, he's alive, but there's definitely some brain damage, and he's a husk of himself, sort of, but he's still annoyed as all hell that he got shot in the head. And
yeah,
he takes it out on King Serpent. Is it King Serpent? Prince Serpent? And he beats the crap out of him with his stump, which I just thought was so gross when you realize, okay, he's punching him. And then it's like, oh no, that's the stump hand. There's no hand there. It's just bone.
Yeah, it's poking bone. And here's the deal. Like, it's animation. I've seen RoboCop was the first R-rated movie I saw, and it was super gross. I've seen like Starship Troopers. Right. I've seen so many gross things, Dead Alive, Evil Dead. But Rex, with the blood shooting out of his head and punching with his stump, was fucking disgusting.
It was grim.
And I was like, I didn't mind the Omni-Man scene in episode one, but this just felt so much different.
There was this was Kirkman and Otley having the time of their lives,
which I'm fine with, but it was like, maybe it's because I'm not feeling well. I don't know what it was, but it was just like this is fucking gross. And I didn't, usually I'm like, it's like, oh, this is gross and I'm laughing. This was like, this is gross. And I'm like, I'm like wincing.
We found Ralph's line. That's amazing.
I don't know what it was though. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's something about it. The open wound, the fact that it's the bone, like, you know that bone's not sitting right. It's everything about it.
Maybe it's the fact that we go to Rex's POV and it's just wrong. You can't hear anything the dude's saying, and it's blurry and echoey, and he's just saying kind of words that maybe aren't...
Do we know why he survived? Like, we don't know, really. It's just like, guy just sort of got an errant shot.
I've heard people getting shot in the head and being okay.
It does happen. It doesn't normally happen in media. Like, I think it weirdly happens probably more in real life than it does in media. But like, it's still nuts.
I mean, look at like Fight Club.
True.
I've heard you don't. It's not like an automatic dead thing, but.
That's video game rules.
But it was so, I don't know. There's just something about it that just hit me weird. Definitely hit me weirder than any of the other stuff we've seen. Like the Viltrumite holding his guts in his hand. Like, even that's like, oh, that's
the face in the train and everything. Like,
I don't know if even in the comic books, we ever see someone just get shot in the head. And we saw the previous, whatever his name was.
One of the other
Cobra Commander guy.
Yeah.
You get shot in the head. And it's like, it didn't bother me. But for some reason, this one, I was just like, man, this is so jacked up, because Rex is just like struggling.
And you, like, I feel like we knew that, okay, he gets the title drop moment in this, where he's like, I'm practically bang invincible. But then you know that as soon as it comes back to that, he's just going to drop down. Like, he's done. And it's the way that it was paced. Yeah. It was obviously going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was still like, oh, he might be dead. I might just been like a last gasp of life.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Mantzoukas plays it great.
I'm
really liking his
serious, an almost serious version of Mantzoukas. But he's like all squirrely. He's lower toned. It's everything about it.
Yeah. It's good, but it was definitely one of those things that just caught me off guard.
Yeah.
And was just like gross.
Yeah.
It was just totally gross. And then Ray coming out.
Yeah.
As soon as they had that long shot on that dude's neck, there's just a sitting there, and I'm like, okay, keep on being there. I'm fine with this camera just being there, because I'm like, that means something has to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you hear the cough, and I'm like, perfect. I'm so much happier now.
She's just fine. She's back.
She could still be on my team in Guardian the Globe, which is broken today.
It's a week, and we're still at that same checkpoint.
So So right before the show, I collected my week long gear for the Alliance. So anyone else in their Alliance, this is a great time to remember when it is to do your.
So it's really annoying because I think I might have done mine the morning of last week. So mine is tomorrow. Yeah. I've got to do it the day after, but it's fine. It's close.
Well, I did it earlier this morning, but then I also did it again right before the show.
That's a reset.
Now it's resetting to before the show. So it's my reminder. It's kind of broken today. There's an Alan event today where Alan's is supposed to be in your recruitment area permanently. Like he's always going to be in there for the next 24 hours.
Oh, that's
so cool. There's a chance to get him every single time you go to recruit someone, hasn't shown up, and it's done a couple refreshes. So I'm like, oh, something's broken. Yeah. I'm sure they'll figure it out, and I'm sure they'll make up for lost time. Also, one of the events, one of the GDA events that's going on right now, I can't claim my reward. I just get a spinning wheel.
I was having problems like just opening the app yesterday. There seemed to be some issues. So maybe there's an update above.
There's an iPhone update as well. So I did that this morning.
Could be. So I'm not working with the iPhone update or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's not talking. But tell you what is talking and who is talking. Oliver's talking.
And Oliver's talking. Yeah. And he's named Oliver and we can start calling him Oliver.
We've been sort of saying it on and off for probably about 3 years. But it's Oliver, everybody. Mark's baby brother is named Oliver and he won't be a baby for much longer because I feel like even in the course of this episode, he ages.
He grew. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of time passed and it's great. And we get the introduction of his nanny, who is working for the GDA, played by Callista Flockhart, which is nuts.
Oh, really?
I just happened to pause it at that point because I was.
And then the X comes up.
And the X comes up. And it's nuts. And I was like, geez, they just get these names for what should be relatively small parts.
Yeah, I'm still looking for Tim Robinson. I don't know if we've seen him already or not. I'll have to check the IMDb.
I haven't noticed
I think the last time I checked the IMDb, he wasn't on there yet.
Okay.
So maybe I can't think of anybody. He's not Russ Livingston.
No.
Is Russ Livingston also Ben Schwartz?
Yes. He's Ben.
It sounds like a weird, like a really toned down.
He's playing it straight. He's playing him like annoyed but serious, and it's so not the Ben Schwartz that we normally hear. Ross Marquand is playing like so many other voices. Ross Marquand is like having conversations with himself, Rudy, and Immortal, and a lot of people.
Do you want to talk about Russ Livingston for a second?
Russ Livingston, sour, understandably,
I mean, Cecil couldn't have like cleaned up the place before putting it back in.
Yeah, he definitely had eyes on it.
Yeah, he's coughing up sick with little guys.
Yeah.
But I just want to bring something up because it's a little bit of an annoyance, and it's such a people. So on X, so you watched the show last week.
Uh-huh.
On X, I mentioned that there was an animation error on Russ Livingston when he first gets taken over by Shapesmith. When he first gets taken over, the flag should be upside down because chronologically, later when he's in the shuttle, it's upside down and he fixes it right way up.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yep.
It was like maybe a second of animation that got messed up, or it was an oversight and it was like no big deal. And I posted it on Twitter and very tongue in cheek was pretending it was a bigger deal than it was. I feel that's very clear. And I just used it to say how much I love the show. Like if you guys make it's a minor mistake. And I'm like, if you guys do this like 10 or 15 more times, I'm out of here.
Everyone loves baseball.
Everyone loves baseball. It's a joke. Otley, we love you. We love you. But your tweet really, really showed us some Invincible fans that we didn't know existed, which are the asshole ones.
I mean, it's Twitter. X. So like it's
right.
It doesn't count as real places anymore.
So this is where I stand back because it has 1.9 million views. I don't know.
Holy
if you
shit!
Know this.
Right. I don't know from that.
This
app
is
anymore.
Why I'm bringing it up. So Rotley. That's how he signs.
I like
this.
It. Yeah.
I got the Madman. Artwork and it's signed Rotley. Ryan Otley.
That's weird. This one, he signed Ryan. That one, Rotley.
Huh.
I've got two different Ryan Otley's signatures. His actual signature on them is both Ryan. but the printed one that was on the print before, is slightly different. That's really interesting. That's Never funny. Noticed that before.
But he took our tweet and quoted it and just said, true Invincible fans know the answer to this. And we got so many things like, dude, do you even watch the show? They haven't watched the show. They should delete their podcast and stuff. And some people were really cool. Some people were really cool. And they're like, no, guys, they're right. This should have been upside down before. Those people I now follow, they're awesome. The people who called us idiots, the people who called us the R word.
Wow.
And the person who called us the N word. I'm like, holy shit, guys. Like,
I mean, Elon's giving them a platform. Like, in one respect, I'm glad because they can all just sit there. Let them sit in their little cesspool of horrible hatredness. Like, and fucking have you, it. No one cares.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this too. 1.9 million views on this tweet. Countless just people just ripping into us and telling us we don't watch the show when it's like,
I've never seen it.
I read the comics and I'm watching this show so closely that when he shapes it, literally
that?
Hit him on the head. I'm like, okay, cool. This is, he gets the flag upside down. And I noticed it immediately. It wasn't, I only watched the episode once before we did the episode of the podcast. And I'm like, it's something that I'm so steeped in Invincible that I'm not like a super expert, but I was waiting to see that.
You noticed a very, very minor detail.
And it's on screen for tops 2 seconds. It's not on there very long. And I'm like, it's such a minor thing. Nobody noticed. You didn't notice. But people saying I don't watch the show is insane because I'm watching the show probably
so closely,
way too fucking closely. I replied to Ollie. I know it's Shapesmith. Like, I know that. It's just an animation error. Like, continuity wise, the flag should have been upside down from the jump, and it wasn't. And I noticed because I'm so fucking into Invincible. So it was really funny. Like, a lot of people, like, one of my favorites was, he's like, it's crazy that people are trying to dunk on you so hard when they're clearly wrong. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I said, thanks, you get it. I kept telling people, thanks, you get it, to everybody that came to my defense, but holy shit, man. And then the thing is, I'm like, okay, cool. I don't really care. I know I'm right. Yeah. 1.9 million views on this tweet. Great. You know, maybe more people will find the show.
Hey, even if some,
new followers, new followers, nothing. And so it's fine because most of them were assholes anyways. But a lot of the people who were cool to us were like really cool to us. And there was like one person that said, oh, my bad.
There you go.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks. One person. The rest of you can go kick rocks.
I hope that Otley got the joke. I hope that anyone else who
and that's the thing.
Worked on the show gets the joke. If they don't, sorry that it doesn't work. You know, it was a joke from the jump. Like, we mentioned it last week on the podcast, but
it's a minor thing.
But
I feel dorkier even pointing it out.
Yeah. I just don't like that. It's done.
So be sure to follow Invincible Pod on Blue Sky.
Yeah. Where people are nice still. But hey, it's, I mean, I guess it's sad because those people do exist in this, but I think they just exist on Twitter no matter what it is. So fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Moving on.
yeah.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty funny. I think Ryan
Ottley owes us a little bit of an apology. We'll have to come on the show in order to do that.
Ryan.
Ryan.
Now we're entitled. Now we're entitled white bearded men. Now we belong on Twitter. Oliver, super cute. Him saying brabra to Mark is amazing.
Right.
What a cute kid who's not gonna hurt anyone ever and do bad things or be totally normal and nice and just a stand-up member of society for his entire life.
Yep.
That's Oliver, folks. I really liked the scene with Cecil trying to recruit Eve because the team is depleted. And
again, another nice and quiet scene.
Yeah. And it's an interaction that we don't really get much of those two. And it's interesting to see the hand that he plays with different characters and the sort of the forcefulness that he will play with different people. He knows how to interact with folks. He needs to make it Eve's choice to join the team.
Right.
Mark, he's scared of. Mark, he feels like he needs to be a bit more forceful with, I think. Whereas Eve, he's like, I'm not scared of you. He should be. But he is like, I want it to be your choice because you're more powerful than you're giving yourself credit for. And I think that's really good. I think that's a really strong choice from his part and from the writing point of view. And then we also get like that thing where he knows that she's got a visitor before Amber even rocks up. Like it's just subtle things.
Yeah.
I like where they've moved her treehouse to in this as well. Like
where is it exactly? It's clearly somewhere near the college.
Yeah, it's not. She's not gone too far. It's not like she's gone to Africa. Like
she was in Africa. Place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw,
it was more Amber of a safari house. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's very like she's just gone into the woods essentially, and she's living in a very Kashyyyk coded treehouse. It's very Kashyyyk, which we love to see.
Right.
Star Wars connection, though. Art's back. Art Rosenbaum's back.
Art's back.
And it's so nice to see. As soon as we see him, before the voice even kicks in, I'm like, now we're in for it. And it sort of just reinforced for me that, I mean, the title card does it, but we're getting the blue and black before the end of this season.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We're about 70% through the title sequence. Title card.
Got two episodes to go. So
we're
gonna get it, if not next week, in the finale. Probably save it for the finale, I would think, at this point. And it was great. And I thought having it here, it's even though he's not gonna get it in this scene, it's gonna plant the seed in Art that it's like, hey kid, I noticed that you've gone through some changes. How about a new costume? And that's cool. I'm into that. I'm looking forward to it. I like that he's the person that Mark goes to for the fatherly advice. I think that's really sweet. He's always been around. He's always been a friend of Nolan's.
Yeah.
But
I like that.
It's kind of like an uncle figure.
But he had a reason to go. I'm like, why would Mark go here? Why isn't he talking to other people? But it is because he knew Nolan. But also, Mark is looking for these books.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with the books was a nice sort of reason for him to go to Art sort of in the first place. Like he's talked it over probably, with.
I don't think he knew that Art had them. I think it's more a case of like, he was just like, what do you know about my dad's books that I might not?
Right.
Like it came up in conversation, but it's, hey, you were friends with him. You knew him. Like my mum threw all his books away. I've read his travel books, but there's nothing seemingly there. What might I be missing? And a lot.
Yeah. And what's great is we get to see inside some of the books.
we get that issue. So that's an entire issue of the comic, and I love that issue. Yeah. It's like it's one of those very special issues. Like the Amber and Mark having sex issue where it cuts over to Alan the Alien.
Alan's story, yeah.
And then it cuts back, and then it cuts back to Alan. Like, it's similar to that, and it's Mark sitting down and reading it. They do it in the space of 5 minutes in this, but in that, it takes our whole issue, and I think we get a couple more than just the two stories that we get in this. But yeah, we get to see Space Racer, Space Rider in the book, so it's the slight tweaks.
Yeah,
it's not Battle Beast, but who's the other one? The like that species.
I don't remember.
I remember the look. As soon as we saw the look, I was like, okay, it's that guy, but I can't remember the names.
The stories are great. We're gonna get into that stuff. I don't know if we're gonna get into that this season.
Probably not.
Space Racer,
I can't imagine. I mean, Battle Beast hasn't been back this season. We know that he's
right.
Kind of in that crew of mercenaries slash other very, very powerful beings that they're going to be recruiting. We teased it a little bit last season, so a few years ago, when we saw Battle Beast. Really early we saw Battle Beast.
Yeah. I have a hunch that Battle Beast may show up this season, wherever Nolan is, in that place.
Ooh, in that
possibly.
Prison.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like Nolan's mad. I think he's going to be able to have the energy to just bust out of that place.
I'm going to always relate things back to Avatar when I can. It's very much like Uncle Iroh doing his training and stuff like that. But it's good. We see more of Craig, General Craig, who is the guy with the monocle. He's just angry. He's really good.
Right. Alan's back. He's trying to recruit Invincible.
He's beefy.
Immortals, Immortals not
happy.
Holy crap! This is
definitely like his grief, but it's also him super scared of anything coming to Earth from outside because of everything that's gone on recently. And he's slipping. He's not thinking straight, which he hasn't been for a while. But the Kate death is pushing him over, and. I love the way they did the conversation. I'm pretty sure that's similar to how it plays out in the comic, where it's like, I know it's a design flaw. It only goes one way. I can only have one conversation at a time telepathically. There's no multi-call function of the telepathy talk, which is good. The fact that they were having those conversations, and we see Amber at the party when Mark is going back to his dorm and he's putting that sock on the door. I was expecting Amber to like walk up to the hallway door, see the sock on the door, and then William to walk from the other direction and her to go, huh? And it to cause some like typical teen miscommunication nonsense. But they didn't do it.
Drama.
They didn't do that. Yeah.
Melodrama.
Instead, we just got William being like, come on, I want to go to bed.
I think those guys could handle seeing Alan.
I mean, no, he hasn't seen Alan, has he? William's seen another alien.
But
he
saw Seance dog.
Seance dog, yeah. So I think he could, at this point.
I think he could handle it. But again,
seeing Alan now against regular humans, we get to see just how beefy and big he's got.
Right.
It's huge now.
And I like that on his home planet, a sock on the door means the same thing.
Yeah.
And they also have douchebags.
Yeah, douchebag. And that's when you get like the Seth Rogen-ness of it. It's like, it means some people fucking. It's like,
I would have never have cast him as Alan. In a million years, I never would have thought, oh, he's the guy. But holy crap, now that's all I hear.
So perfect. So perfect.
It's really good. It's really good.
We could talk about it every week, the voice casting in this. I think it's the best cast, because you've got amazing animation shows that have got really good voice talent of really good voice actors, but this is a show that's just going voice actor, like on-screen actor, whoever is around, whoever's the best person that we can get for this role, caliber doesn't matter. You can give Oscar winners in bit parts, and you can have voice actors who have only done like one or two things in major roles, and it's just cast so well. I don't want to harp on it every week because it's going to get boring for people to hear, but it's amazing. It's the best cast voice show, maybe show ever.
Right. And they're like, I can't say they each get a moment to shine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, Ross Marquand and Jason Mantzoukas both had really good moments in this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's just they're really nailing the comics. Not a lot of action in this episode, mm-hmm. with the exception of the beginning.
It makes me think that, like, and it makes me glad because it just feels like, obviously, so many of these people worked with Kirkman on Walking Dead or know of the caliber of things like that. So he's got his stable. But all those guys and all those people come back. And it makes you go, oh, he's probably a good person to work for. I don't think, like, other than what's his name, who's directed, like, those exec produced Walking Dead for the first couple of seasons, horror guy.
Yeah.
He really Rob annoyed.
Cohen? Because... Rob, not Rob Cohen. Is it Rob? No.
Green Mile. That guy. Who the relationship seems to sour. Frank Darabont. Yeah. And also the original artist of The Walking Dead and Kirkman had a falling out.
Not Cliff Rath. No, he came on. Charles Aldair. Charles,
maybe something like that.
It was one of those two dudes.
I could look back. It's back there somewhere.
Rathburn.
I think he was cool. He was doing inks and stuff later. I don't know. The original artist.
I'm gonna look. He's gonna drive me nuts.
They're the only two like relationships that seem to have soured. But everyone else, all the talent, like all the on-screen people, he seems to have just developed this
Tony Moore.
Yeah, Tony Moore. There you go. That's it. Okay. And it's like, it's amazing because everyone just seems to want to work with him or is happy to always work for him in so many different capacities. It's lovely to see. But Mark is invited to join the, or at least go and interview, meet with the Coalition of Planets. But he's like, I can't go back to space again. I've only just got here. I've only just got back. Which I liked. I liked it. It's tightening it up. And I like that Alan isn't forceful about it. He's more accepting. He understands. He's like, well, shit, I guess I'll go back and deliver a message. But Mark gives him the books. So they've got something.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I hope they work. I'm sure they will.
Yeah. They might skip over the recruitment. It might just be a case of, like, those guys are now there next time we see the Coalition. But I think I'm sure that we see Mark in front of Thaddeus in one of the trailers. I'm sure that we've seen that shot. So I feel like he is going to still get there this season.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, more space stuff for Mark in the future, for sure.
Mm. But before then, we've got to get Angstrom Levy is back.
Yeah.
He's in the end of the season. This is a shot that we saw in the trailer, right? That him going to that tailor. Because we talked about the tailor and I definitely had seen that. And this is the post-credits sort of sting of this episode. And it's a case of like, hey, don't forget, we've still got this major threat coming.
Yeah. So we have, what, two episodes left?
Two episodes left. I feel like if this Invincible War that we've been teasing is coming, I feel like it starts next week and then it goes into the finale.
Oh, you think so? You think it's going to start? You don't think it's going to be the teaser?
Oh, well, maybe.
Season 3?
Maybe.
I think it packs so much into two episodes.
They pack a lot into every episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. That walk, though, it felt like it was with purpose. And it was like, I loved the fact that he was jumping through dimensions and we get a bit of everything. Because
dinosaurs.
It's a shorthand for, like, he's just collecting things and people from everything. But yeah, we get some Walking Dead.
Hey, listen, I'm all for it. If they start the Invincible War.
Did he pick up Dinosaurus? Is that how they're going to bring Dinosaurus into it? Is he
coming from?
That'd be a cool way of doing it.
Dinosaurs has to be in the show.
Yeah, he's got a major. I'd say he's as big as Angstrom in terms of like villain level.
Yeah.
Fascinating story.
I don't know.
Fascinating story.
So I'm trying to think where else we can go. Any like open threads that we have where we can go with the rest of the season. Sequid's still around.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Sequid's
have been the big thing. I mean, this season's only been, what, 6 episodes so far? Wow. And that includes, like, the first half, the first four we did.
Yeah.
They're packing a lot in, but I feel like as far as thread goes, Mars is taken care of.
Yeah.
The Martians are going to go take care of the Sequids because they can't penetrate their skin. Amber and Mark seem to be, you know...
I think they're gonna get towards that. I don't think Zazie Beetz will be a series regular next season. I'll say that.
Oliver's situation has been seemingly taken care of, unless there's some stuff going on with the nanny, which it probably is, but whatever.
He is calling Debbie Mama, even though she's still reinforcing, no, I'm not your mum. I'm raising you, but I'm not your mum.
But he recognized she's wearing a necklace the way that he was playing with the Thraxon mom's necklace saying
that's a good
she tag. Says I hope you remember
you even watch the show Ralph. That's a really
I
good
don't tag. Watch the show I should delete this podcast and I'm an R word and an N word
yep
we are both idiots and
they do have that bit right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, I'm not like a crazy expert, like I'm not like photographic memory. If you want that, go to the Invincible podcast. Those guys are great. But
and they're paid to do it.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, and they get people on. They've been doing it for, I think, almost 10 years now.
Yeah, that's great.
Those guys. Good. Yeah. This is our 13th regular episode.
That's
14th
nuts.
Regular episode.
That's nuts.
But, I mean, listen, like, I love this show. There's so much packed in. I don't know if we missed anything.
I had notes just so that we wouldn't, because that's the point that we're at is I just need to make sure that we hit everything, but I think we've got the episode covered.
Really enjoyed the episode. It felt like I can see people complaining about it, like nothing, maybe they say nothing happens, there's not a lot of action, it's all front loaded, but this feels like an Invincible comic.
Yeah,
you're getting like all these threads. Some of them are closing up. Who's taking care of Oliver? Closed up. We know where that's all set up. Amber set up, closed up. Maybe we'll see. There's probably going to be more, but for the most part, Sequid is taken care of. So now it's time to get the Angstrom Levy. So I'm assuming. Yeah. I think you're right. I think we get him next week in full.
Yeah.
Looking at the trailers for the second half of season two, I can't say there's anything in the trailers we haven't seen already.
That's exciting.
I think we might have caught up. I can't think of any other shots that were in those trailers that we haven't seen yet. So
I love that.
The next two episodes might be all, you know.
Surprise. It's great. I love it. It's always fun when we get that with Star Wars shows seemingly at the moment only ever showing stuff from the first half of their seasons. It's a good way of doing it.
And with like Space Racer in there in the trailer, it's out of context. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's in this. And it's just for that bit. I'm trying to think and I can't think of, the only thing we haven't seen from the trailer was the quick flashes of the Invincible with the cape.
Oh yeah, but so Invincible was happening. It's starting at least.
Yeah. So, I'm excited, man.
I'm very excited.
Any sort of the big events like the Invincible War of Ultramite War. There's all kinds of wars and things that happen that are coming. It's nice that like at the end of season two, chances are we're going to get to the Invincible War. That's crazy. Yeah. But it's exciting, and what's great is we know we're getting a season three. Yes. I have a feeling it's going to be sooner than later. I bet like August or something.
I was going to say sort of like October, but yeah, either way, if it comes this year, I'm so, so happy.
And I feel like they have to be already working on season four. Hopefully season 4 and 5.
I feel like we should get an announcement of it at the end of this season.
But we already know that they've already announced season 3, so would they already start talking season 4 or 5?
Yeah, you gotta have some announcement. You gotta have something for the week after the season finale, just to keep that hype train rolling.
Yeah, that stuff works too, because
you can do a teaser and release date at Comic Con. And then at New York Comic Con, you can drop the full trailer then you roll it out just after New York Comic Con. And Comic Con, you drop a special episode that they've done as well, like Atom Eve and Rexplode, like that special. Do that, and then bang, into the next season.
This show's a miracle. I can say it every week. This show is a miracle.
So after the first one back, so after last week's episode, there was some criticisms that I heard, and it was everyone was saying, like, we do love the show. The show is really good, but the pacing of it feels weird. And they were thrown off because of the gap in between episodes. And I don't know. I'm not feeling it because I hate being the person who's like, oh, but I read the book, so I get it. And it doesn't feel jarring to me when you're jumping around so many different storylines.
But when it takes you maybe 4 minutes tops to read one floppy issue of Invincible and then got to wait a month. Like,
Three months, 4 months. That was a book riddled with delays.
Yeah. So I feel like it's, for me, it's already baked into the Invincible story is waiting. So it doesn't bother me as much.
140 whatever issues came out over the course of over 10 years.
Yeah.
It took them a while.
Right. But I mean, you know, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the waiting because it's a miracle that this actually is happening.
Yeah.
I'd wait another, you know, 2 years for season.
Don't tell them, but
it's not going to happen. Kirkman said we've already waited the longest, and I trust that dude.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
The between season 1 and season 2, it won't happen again. I think they were kind of caught off guard how popular it was, how well it was received, and they're like, oh shit!
And then there was a pandemic.
Let's tell them. Yeah, and then they probably said, let's tell them we're doing season 2 and 3.
Yeah,
so that they know, like, listen. We know it's a wait, but Invincible isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they do that sometimes. They do that sometimes where they just like,
I remember the
Green Lantern sequel was announced the weekend of Green Lantern's release. And I'm like, they're trying to make it seem like it's a big deal and it's not going to work. Like,
no.
And it's been 13 years and there's no Green Lantern sequel.
Ralph, I think you need to give up on that one.
No, I'm going to give up on that one, but there's these rumors about, James Gunn announced the Green Lantern show.
Yeah.
And there's rumors swirling around that Damon Lindelof is going to be show running that and what he did with Lost. I haven't seen The Leftovers. I probably should.
I really want to see. I watched the first half of the first season and I was enjoying it, but then something happened and I dropped off. But I hear that show gets and stays amazing.
Yeah, but then like Watchmen. I heard Mrs. Davis is pretty good. I need to watch Mrs. Davis as well.
I didn't realize that.
But if it is Damon Lindelof working on it, man, I can't wait. Because I know at least some care will be put into it.
And at least it'll be interesting. At the very least, it'll be really interesting. That's cool. That's what you want from this sort of thing.
Yeah. So that's another miracle if it happens.
You've got a heart out. Otherwise, I know that we could talk about this show forever. So I feel like we should wrap up here while we've had a good conversation, while we've proven to people that we do sometimes watch the show. And like, let's get out of here, end on a high, and you can have 5 minutes downtime before you got to
blow my nose.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Refill your drink, blow your nose, and yeah, resell. When are we back next? Are we back? We're doing Star Wars episode next Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wednesday, we're going to do Acolyte.
Yeah, so you can find me on Tuesday talking about tacos on Top 10 Tacos. You can Ralph and I live on Wednesday to talk about the Acolyte trailer, which everyone should have seen by now. If you haven't, go and watch it. You've got plenty of time. Yeah, I'm going to be dissecting that thing. It's not going to be like our normal reactions. It's going to be me going deep on it.
Okay.
And we'll be back Thursday, same time next week for Invincipod. So, yeah, potentially 3 days of listening to my voice. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Hopefully I'll be healed by then. I should be good.
Yeah, you should be
good. Sarah says tacos.
Hey.
Yeah, we need to get you guys. We need to get you guys over here. Steve's already starting to make a list.
Amazing! Oh, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
We're looking at it. We're going to be looking at it for hopefully towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
If not, maybe early next year. But yeah, there are plans and machinations.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. We'll have a list.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get you something. You can't just eat only tacos, but we'll come up with a good list.
Well, I mean, if we're in California, we're definitely going to Galaxy's Edge as well. So we can have some other food there. I'll have a Ronto wrap is kind of a taco.
It kind of is.
I mean, I don't know. Too. Yeah, they look it.
What a great episode that would be, though.
Yeah.
Just to talk about Ronto wraps. No Mars.
I'll do it. Like, no. Blue milk. No, I thought we can do cocktails. We can talk about other cocktails. Yeah, we might be able to do it. But yeah, that's a different podcast where we can talk about things like that.
Right.
This podcast is Invincipod, and we are going to be back next Thursday, 5 p.m. GMT, and then our times will be back to normal for you.
I think it's different still. I think your time, because I put it in the calendar. Yeah. Your time changes happens on the 31st.
Doesn't it? I thought it was this weekend.
I looked it up. Google told me it was the 31st.
But that's a weird.
I mean, month. All you have to do is hit the bell icon on our YouTube, and it'll tell you when.
Yeah, the best thing about all of our socials and everything is, no matter who's putting it in, it does the translations based on where you are. So you're safe. Just hit those bells. We're those guys now.
Yeah.
Hit the bells. Like, subscribe, review. Yeah.
Be nice.
Cool. Be nice. Yeah. You don't have to do any of that. Just be nice.
Yeah.
Until next week, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back with another episode of